I wonder if there's a time in our lives when we remembered the closer walk we had with Jesus. And I wonder if in our lives that we're not worshiping because we think that it should be different, be better, should be somehow. And we need to forget the past and we need to see what God wants to do now.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Last time on In Christ, we saw how God kept his promise by stirring the hearts of his people to return and begin restoring what had been lost. As we continue in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra, we come to chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, with a message titled, Disappointing Fulfillment. You may have noticed that we skipped all of chapter 2. That chapter is mostly a list of names, the families who returned and did the work. And it reminds us of something important. Every person matters in what God is building. So as we continue, we see in this chapter that the people gather in Jerusalem and rebuild the altar. Worship begins again, sacrifices return, and the foundation of the temple is finally laid. It is a moment they've been waiting for. But the reaction is mixed. Some people shout with joy, while others weep so loudly that the people could not discern the noise of the shouts of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. Many of the priests and the Levites and the men of old remember the glory of the first temple, and this new beginning feels different than what they once knew. The promise is being fulfilled, but it doesn't look the way they had expected. Sometimes God keeps his promises in ways that feel smaller or slower than we imagined. But faith learns to celebrate what God is doing now, not just what we remember from the past. So as we go through this study, let's ask, when God begins rebuilding something in our life, can we rejoice in the new foundation, even if it doesn't look like what it used to be? If you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Ezra chapter 3 as we go through verses 1 through 13, Disappointing Fulfillment. Here's Pastor Ben.
Look at verse 2. Then Jeshua, the son of Zodak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren arose and built the altar of God in Israel to offer burnt offerings on it as written as the law of Moses, the man of God. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set an altar on its base and they offered burnt offerings unto the Lord, both the morning and the evening burnt offerings. What did they do? In their fear, you ready? They worshiped. They went back to worship. Guys, when we sing, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, that's where it is. It's coming back to the place where God overwhelmed you in your song, and it wasn't about the lyrics, and it wasn't about the music, and it wasn't about the guitar, it wasn't about anything, but it was in your time, in your time. I'm really busted because I wonder, when was the last time we spent time with Jesus alone? You go, what do you mean? When was the last time you went on a date with Jesus? You took your Bible, you turned off your phone, and you said, okay, for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, I'm just going to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. You tell your husband, you tell your wife, hey, I'm going to be with Jesus for an hour. This is what I'm going to do. That's what's going on here, guys. Notice what the Bible says. Though fear had come upon them, they were scared. They were scared. This is life. This was of urgent and immediate necessity in order. First, to make atonement for their sins, so they had to build the altar. And secondly, to obtain divine blessings on their preparation for the temple. Let's worship. Let's worship. Just a side note, we can respond to fear by worshiping the Lord. Okay, you're not getting that. Half of you are asleep. Let's go. We can respond to fear by worshiping the Lord. We can. Now, the question is, do we? There's a lot of things that want to create fear in our lives. A lot of things that want to steal your joy. A lot of things that want to steal your peace. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, music is music. And, you know, I like all kinds of music. And, you know, people even for some reason like country music. I don't understand that. But because I'll tell you, country music came after the fall. I'm telling you just right after that. It just did. I'm just kidding. If you love country music, I love you too. But there's nothing like worship music in your house all day long because it does something for you. When the songs are praising Jesus, the songs are, oh, that fear is gone. Fear is gone. You see, Ezra 3:3 in the New Living Translation says this, even though the people were afraid of the local residents, they rebuilt their altar on its old site. Then they began to sacrifice the burnt offerings of the Lord each morning and evening. See, on the other side of this point is that sin in our lives will rob us of our joy and endanger our life. Verse 4, they also kept the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by the ordinance for each day. Afterwards, they offered the regular burnt offering for those for the new moons and all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated. Those of everyone willing to offered a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. Okay, so what comes first? Worship. Worship. Now, think about this as a new believer. Think about if a brand new believer, somebody is, you know what? Here's what we do. They have to get saved first before they can start the foundation. They have to deal with the sin issue. This is why we offer an invitation. You all, as you come weekly, Wednesdays and Sundays, you're building your foundation of faith because you're already saved. But think about how they're doing this. They're going, oh, no. Here's the thing. The one side, guys, the one side is that they have to deal with the sin before they can start the process of building the foundation. The altar was erected on the first day of the seventh month, which was the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets. And here's what they did. You ready? I'm just going to tell you. They burnt offerings night and day. For them, that was the worship of the Lord. That was the worship. And we see in verse 4 that they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacle. And you go, okay, Ben, but give me a point. Give me something I can take home. You ready? The people worshiped the Lord no matter what was going on in their lives. You got to write that down. The people worship the Lord no matter what was going on in their lives. And here's the key. You ready? They purposed to worship God. They purposed. It's something they said, we're going to do. I love our Wednesday nights. I love that you're all here. But I can tell you, probably some of you here tonight, it was a struggle to get here. You had to purpose. No, I'm going. And everything else seems to fall apart on Wednesdays and Sundays. And you have to purpose. No. I'm going because God's first. God's first. I need to worship him. So what happens? What happens when you and I worship the Lord? What happens when we worship the Lord here at church? What happens when we worship the Lord through prayer? What happens when we worship at home? I'll tell you what. Our worship renews us. It renews us. It's taking your problems, it's taking those little things and giving them to God and going, Lord, compared to you, they're nothing. Hey, let me let you on a little secret. You ready? The problems you have right now, in 100 years from now, you're not going to care about them. Do you remember the things you used to stress about when you were 18, 19? Some of you can't remember, I get that. But my point is this, we don't stress about them anymore, do we? We have a whole new set. Every age is a whole new set, but the point is it renews us. But it also does this, it cleanses us back to him. Why? Because sometimes in worship, we have to have confession, don't we? Oh, Lord, I've blown it. I'm so sorry. Here's my petition. Please forgive me. It just cleanses us. Number two, when we worship, we're in the throne room of God. We're in the throne room. When you worship, you're not just setting foot in a building or a meeting with other believers. You're not even just worshiping God from afar. Spiritually, through Jesus, you have entered the Holy of Holies. That's why, listen, church, that's why your heart has to be prepared before you come in those doors. We have to be ready to worship. Because you and I, and I'm including myself in this, we come in with all the junk of the world strapped to us, don't we? I mean, you're flicking little things off of the world. Get off me. Okay. All right. Here I am. Get off to worse. And we've got to get that out there. Say, Lord, no. Listen, I'm coming in into your presence. I'm coming into you. Listen. And worship is not the music. Worship is part of the music. But guess what it is? It's prayer. It's fellowship. It's encouraging each other. When you get here a little bit early and you talk to a brother or talk to a sister and you're able to love on them and serve them and share with them, that's worship. That's worship. You go, hey, how you doing? Isaac, you doing all right? How you doing, bro? And you get to talk to them, and that's worship. You've entered into the Holy of Holies. You're in the throne room right there. I've often said our worship needs to be an audience of one. An audience of one. You're just worshiping him. And number three, jot this down, worship is our primary weapon. The Apostle Paul tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they have divine power to destroy those strongholds. Guys, we're not fighting flesh and blood. Well, that's the worship. Now the foundation, verse 7. They also gave money to the masons, I love this, and the carpenters, and food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Zadok, and the rest of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of captivity into Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Guess what he's doing? They're ordaining assistant pastors. That's what they're doing. They're looking and going, okay. Then Jeshua, the son of his brothers, Kadmiel and the son and his sons and the sons of Judah arose to oversee the work of the house of God. And the sons of Henenadad and the sons and their brethren in the Levites. I mean, this is amazing. But you need to know, Jeshua with his sons, not the high priest Jeshua, but a Levite. Well, how do you know? Well, that's for your homework, because in chapter 2, verse 40, it tells us who he is. Oh, so now I have to read chapter 2? Yes, you do. But these were probably distinguished for probably their mechanical skills, their taste. The duty of acting as overseers was particularly committed. Think about this, guys. He's looking for young men, 20 and older. He's looking for young men to take on and help and oversee. And what God does is he brings us young men that we start to look at and we start to recognize, oh, there's a call in their life. And then we see exactly what they're supposed to do. The church is not run by one person. The church is run by all of us. But God appoints men to help lift the arms to do the work of the ministry. Let me give you a side note, guys. The foundation was laid in the spring of 535, bringing a close to the 70 years captivity, which begun in about 605 BC. So about 70 years. Here's the laying of the foundation. And I don't know if you grasp it or not, but I can tell you, Jesus, God, keeps his promise. Keeps his promise. I was thinking about this, and I'm going to get off track. Permission to get off track for just a second. I was thinking about this because I heard a really good Bible teacher at 9:30, between 9:30 and 10, as I was coming to work. Really good Bible teacher. And here's what he said. He said that Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem for the millennial reign, right? And I started to think about this. I was like, okay, but we're going to have glorified bodies that we're going to be able to go visit God the Father. We're going to hang out with Jesus. And then you know what I said? Oh, and I want to walk with the Holy Spirit. I just want to walk. I thought that was super cool. Why? Because your glorified body, it's like, oh, I'll be right back. Father's calling me. And then you go up and you hang out in heaven for a while. What's up, Lord? How you doing? And then, oh, Jesus needs me. And he's fully God and fully man, but he's reigning from Jerusalem. So I got to go over there. And then it's like, most importantly, while we're doing our work, guys, I don't know about you, but I just had this picture of walking with the Holy Spirit, just walking with him. You know that, Lord, Holy Spirit, love through me, Holy Spirit, love through me. I want to see what you see, Holy Spirit. You see people different than I do. Oh, give me your eyes, Holy. Let's just walk together. Let's just walk together. Men, we have a hard time walking, don't we? You ever walk? Why is it that men always walk ahead of their wives? We do. We got to get to the place where we need to be in a hurry. That's not walking. That's not walking with God. Walking with God is hand in hand, close to each other, enjoying the walk. Sometimes, come on, let's face it. Women meander and men just go straight, right? We got to go here. So I'm excited. Well, let's finish up here. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple, verse 10, of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with their trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord, according to the ordinances of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks. What were they saying? Lord, thank you. Oh, can you imagine? Wouldn't you want to be in that number? Here's what they're singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout, and they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Notice, guys, I love that they sing. What are they singing? They're singing the word of God back to the Lord. How so? Psalm 136, verse 1. Notice what it says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Isn't this great? Isn't that great? Well, here's where our disappointing fulfillment comes in. Why? Because number two, we're going to see mingled joy with weeping. Look at verse 12. But many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, the men who had seen the first temple, well, they wept with a loud voice when the foundation of the temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that people couldn't discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. Do you see what's going on here? The people who had seen Solomon's first temple realized this is a lot smaller, and their heart broke. And they weren't just, it wasn't just tears. It wasn't just a little tear. You know, it's like, what's the matter? Oh, I've got allergies. That's not what it was. Guys, it says here that they wept with a lot. They were, oh! And another group of people was going, praise the Lord, we get the temple back. At least we have a temple. At least we can worship. And it wasn't that these older men were sad. They just remembered what the first temple looked like. I wonder if there's some application for us. You go, what do you mean? Well, we see both what? Weeping and shouting. And the people couldn't discern who was crying and who was, we didn't know that. But we know that God is doing something. Why? Because he's fulfilling prophecy in bringing back them to the land. They were excited about that. God, you're so good. So in the middle of this fulfillment of prophecy, we notice that there were certainly men that were certainly disappointed. Why? Because they had remembered the first temple and wept. Yet they're safe as they obey God and as they worshiped. As we close, think about this. I wonder if there's a time in our lives when we remembered the closer walk we had with Jesus. I wonder. I hope not. I hope you're close to Jesus right now. I hope there's not like, yeah, back in 72, I remember. We don't want that. But if for some reason that God's here and is reminding you, I wonder if we need to weep a little bit. Say, Lord, I want that again. I miss you. I miss you. And I wonder if in our lives that we're not worshiping because we think that it should be different, be better, should be somehow. You know what? The people were like, we get a temple. Are you kidding me? We were 70 years and we need to forget the past and we need to see what God wants to do now. And I think both of them just deserve our shout. What was Talia singing earlier? Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, right? Can you imagine this worship service? Can you imagine? Full on everything. People, I mean, it'd be like, I think I'd be a little freaked out. I was like, is he crying or worshiping? What's wrong? So, Ben, yes, why are they weeping during this joyous time? Why? Again, Think about this. Many of the older men wept because they remembered the grandeur of Solomon's temple, and it was destroyed about 50 years before. And they are weeping because this temple is smaller and it's going to be less magnificent. Somewhat disappointing fulfillment. We can say the same thing. We can say the same thing as we wait for the Lord. You go, what's that? This world, no matter what we have, is disappointing. There's evil, there's unrighteousness, there's hurt, and there's pain. And yet, we can walk out of here with this fulfillment because we're waiting for Jesus to come and rescue us. Can I get a good amen? Father, we thank you for your word tonight and the truth in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're so good, God. We thank you, Lord, that Lord, the worship is restored back in Jerusalem. You deserve every part of our worship. And Father, as we begin to worship, we notice in verses 1-7, the worship is restored. The altar is built first, and then the restoration of the temple. And now today, God, we are the temple of your Holy Spirit. And so we want to worship as you begin to build the temple, the foundation in us. Restore unto us, Lord, the joy of your salvation. May we lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us, and we continue to look to the Father for his grace and his mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. We long to be with you. As Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's what we want. Lord, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because that's the goal. The goal is to share our faith, and the goal is to see people saved. I never want to leave a meeting. I never want to leave a gathering without offering an invitation to anyone who may be drifting tonight, who may be far from the Lord, and he brought you here. You're listening online. You're listening via podcast, or you might even be listening on the radio right now. Would you take a moment to just check your heart? Say, Lord, am I saved? Am I really saved? I want to build that altar tonight, Lord, and restore and give my life back to you. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, is there anyone here in the sound of my voice through the power of the Holy Spirit that says, Pastor Ben, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I want to be. I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to be right with him. Would you lift up your hand? If there's anyone here, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. If there's anyone here, I'm just going to give you an opportunity real quick. If you're listening online, I can't see you. If you're listening via Facebook, whatever it might be, but just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to come home. I want to come back and build this spiritual altar. In Jesus' name, amen. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue,
Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.